Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to another edition of our program, Dare to Be Different. It's Ismail Bariyawa, and just wonderful to have all of you tuning in, whether it's via the audio streaming, Mediumwave 1548, Satellite Islam, and on the DSTV 826. And we've had brilliant weather in the last couple of days. Well, you know, it rained, but with it, we also had the cold. So some people are saying we reverse, the weather seems to be working in a reverse pattern. We're getting to colder days. Not too sure of that, but we are truly, truly blessed. And I was out in Durban for a couple of days, had some official work to go out to, and it was overcast there. We're getting lots of rain as well, and not too sure what is happening in that part of the world as well. We've had reports that lots of rain, and in the other parts of our country, we still have drier conditions, and we truly hope that and we pray that they have beneficial rain. This morning, to help us along with our program, we've got a fantastic guest, someone who's always willing and obliging, who always sharing so much, and that is JJ from Gardenwell. Hi, good morning, JJ.
Good morning, Ismail. Good morning to all the listeners out there.
Thank you very much, always obliging. And, you know, let's talk about the weather. I think that's something that everyone's talking about. You know, we seem to have been gone in the reverse gear, going into summer, and then suddenly we're back, smack back into winter. And is this good for the plants?
You know what, it's actually quite amazing, Ismail, that it's actually happened twice already so far this season, that we've gone back into winter. And yeah, I don't know how good it actually is for the plants, because our plants are just in their growing mode. They're just growing out and getting all that beautiful, strong spring growth coming through. And then suddenly they've got to adapt again to the winter cold, you know, which obviously in my mind, I can't think that it would be good for the plants. But you know what? That's the weather, and we cannot predict it. We've got to live with it. We've got to try and make the best of it. And yeah, I think, you know, it just makes us realize how nice summer actually is. It makes us appreciate all those warm summer days, you know? But not everybody is summer people. A lot of people prefer having the cooler weather around. Many, many years ago, I think probably in the 80s, it actually snowed in October. In Johannesburg, you know, many people will still remember, I think it was 84.
That's correct, it was in 84, it definitely was 84.
It snowed in October, you know, so the weather might feel very peculiar and different to us, but history shows that it's happened before.
Well, you definitely, like you're talking about different types of people, I definitely am not a winter person. I think I would love the summer to come back, the brilliant sunshine. And when you talk, now, JJ, the thing that comes to people's minds is that would the temperatures in the soil drops, you know, low enough for the plants to be destroyed? And I'm not sure if that would happen, because temperatures are going peak around about 13, 14, not really below 10. So do you think that would cause any, you know, would that be disastrous to the plants?
No, not at all. No, once it starts getting disastrous, the plants is when it starts getting to the fours and the twos, you know. So we are way, way, way ahead of that. All that you've got to now be careful of is to water your plants too late in the afternoons. I mean, if it's cold like it is at the moment, and if you were to water your plants and there might be a cold wind coming through at night, you know, then you do more damage to your plants. So rather make sure that you do still water your plants, but water them early in the mornings. And I looked at the weather chart this morning, and it said that tomorrow it turns back to normal out in Johannesburg again. I'm not sure about the rest of the country. I haven't been looking at that. But yeah, so for us out here, it's going to be turning out normal again. And yeah, let's hope we're going to get some good rains again.
Well, we're waiting for the brilliant sunshine to come in, and then we've had this rains in between. And when we're talking about the rains, you know, we need the rain and the sunshine, because the rain and the sun comes, soaks up all, and then we can take in more rain, and that's what we really, really require. And we, you know, when we talk about rains, JJ, we really talk about beneficial rains, because you can get rains, and you know, like I said, it was in Durban, we saw the destruction that was caused by the storms and so forth, and that's not what we want. We want, you know, though that rain that would be, you know, beneficial to both man and, you know, the earth and the animals and everything. So that's what we're looking, not the hailstones.
No, luckily not the hailstones. I mean, the hailstones also does do good, believe it or not. You know, your hailstones brings in a lot of nitrogen into the soil, and your growth after the hail has been is phenomenal. You know, it's a very, very strong growth coming through. Your hail also prunes your trees. You know, those bigger plants that you never get to, it cleans out all your trees. So in some way, hail is actually very good for the garden, you know. And your garden does bounce back normally very quickly after the hailstorm. It's very difficult always convincing people that hail is good, and then you've got farms losing entire crops, you know, where the hail has destroyed it all. But no, the hail is good. But you know, it's actually quite interesting that your plants react way differently to a rainstorm than what it does to you watering the garden. I mean, you can constantly be watering the garden, but it will never do the same as what one good rain shower does to the garden. I mean, that is phenomenal. Very often your rain also brings in different nutrients and elements that actually opens up the plant's pores a lot better. And it makes the plants absorb a lot more energy, fertilizer, light, and the rain is phenomenal. You know, I don't think I would ever want to live in a country where there's no rain.
Yes, but you know, having said that, and I think 2 points that you've mentioned, and if I've heard this and I've spoken about it, is, you know, hail is definitely, while it does seem, you know, initially it would be disastrous, but, you know, the consequences or what follows thereafter is the amount of nitrogen that comes in, and you have your ponds bursting, and maybe if it's nature's way of pruning, so like you said, you know, some of the growth that's become too big, or would then, you know, sort of be cut back down. So fantastic when we talk about, you know, weather and nature. And when we look at it, we sometimes just look at, towards our advantage. If we look at it in the overall picture, we definitely find it has, you know, far-reaching consequences. So, I do apologize for that. And let's go on now with our program. You know, after the weather, there's been a lot of talk about wellness and well-being. You know, people are saying that we need to be, you know, getting ourselves and, you know, looking after ourselves. Are there a number of plants that we could recommend for wellness and well-being?
There's various plants that you can use for wellness and well-being. So what we've got to always understand is that the reason why we want to grow our own plants is so that we know what are you putting in your mouth. You know what it's been treated with. You know where it was grown. You know what it was fertilized with. If there was any chemicals used, or has it been grown organically? You know, so that's the kind of thing that you will know once you've grown it yourself. That's why it's also become a worldwide phenomenon that people would rather buy from a market than what they would go and buy from a supermarket, where they can actually have a chat to the grower and find out how has the veggies been treated. You know, I think if you look at over the years, many, many years ago, you always used to find the little markets in the towns. There wasn't shops. And the people would be buying regularly from the growers, from the farmers, and they would be getting that local fresh produce on a quite regular basis. I mean, they didn't have fridges that would keep it going for long. And therefore, they were forced to buy quite regularly. And I think that should be our norm again. We should be harvesting from our own gardens very frequently, and also be buying from the local growers normally, you know, instead of going to a supermarket and buying something that you have got no idea how it has been treated with. Getting back to what can we be planting in the garden? Right, remember there is a couple of superfoods, and one of them nowadays is your goji berry. You know, if you were to plant your goji berry in the garden, they actually grow very well in the gardens. Remember that they like a very acidic soil. They do not necessarily want full sun the whole day. Normally half day sun is fine for them, and then obviously fertilizing will make them flourish up beautifully again. So the goji berry is a wonderful one to plant. A second one to plant that you can plant, which is a superfood, is your moringa. So if you look at your moringa tree, it's what they call the tree of life or the wonder tree. So the moringa tree likes a very warm area. It actually likes a very tropical area. And that's the kind of thing that you can buy nowadays, and you can plant it in your garden. It wasn't always available, but nowadays it is available. And nowadays it's got a very soft leaf to it. I don't think I need to tell you what it looks like, because I know that you've bought some before. But it's got a very soft leaf, and you're able to eat all the different parts of the plant. Not only the seeds, but you can also eat the leaves, the bark, the roots, and it's really a wonderful plant to have in the garden.
Sorry, just on that point, let's just go back. So the moringa, they say the whole plant is edible. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes. 100% the whole plant edible.
Okay. And then the only thing is, of course, it needs a more tropical and warmer climate.
It loves a warm tropical climate. It actually originates from either India or Brazil, which is a very, very warm area. And the moringa tree has been known all over the world for many, many years. And it's been grown in Africa for many years. So if you go to a lot of the African countries, they will tell you that there's so many of the plantations of moringa trees have been growing all over. It's only us in South Africa, it sounds to me, as if we've only caught up quite a bit later than what we should have.
Just a description for the listeners, it has a long seed, you know, and or what we call a fruit. And I know people liken that to a drumstick and say that's what it's called. So the people who are not too familiar, it is the drumstick tree. It's called the moringa. And they're using this lots and lots of uses. So that's the second superfood. So we're talking about the goji berry and the moringa. Which is the other one?
Your quinoa is another superfood, but quinoa is not normally grown inside of, or it's not the kind of thing that you can grow in your garden. And I'm trying to remember what the other superfoods are. But the superfoods that we can grow at the moment is definitely the moringa and the goji berry.
What about the blueberries and the raspberries? Do you have any of that? Because don't they belong also to the superfood category?
They don't quite belong to the superfoods, but they're fun to have in the garden. And yes, I mean, your blueberries, your raspberries, your blackberries, your young berries, there's so many different varieties of berries at the moment that I think that we are all too relaxed or too scared to try them out, because there's such an amazing variety available of berries. I mean, there's a berry farm in Vrede in the Free State. Now, everybody says we cannot grow berries in our climate because our climate is not quite suited for them. But if you look at Vrede in the Free State, they've got a berry farm out there that grows 80 different varieties of berries. Some of the berries being as big as a tennis ball.
Wow.
Why should we then look at it and say, no, we cannot grow it, you know? We should actually definitely be able to grow our own berries in the garden. And, you know, it's so much fun if you were to look at what your kids would be like if they can go through the garden and they can harvest their own berries from the garden. You can make the wonderful jams and preserves and salads and desserts with them.
The question coming through, a goji berry, what's the size, the height does it grow in? And you said it was an acidic soil, is that correct?
That is correct, yes. It loves an acidic soil. All your berries actually like acidic soils. So if you've got your berries, an acidic soil of normally a pH around 6, which is quite acidic, is normally the kind of pH where it should be. And a goji berry grows to about 1.5 meters to 2 meters. Here in Joburg, where it's a bit cooler, where it's not quite as tropical, you'll only normally find it growing to about a meter or so.
And would it do well in a container?
It will do very well in a container, as long as your container is large. You know? The biggest mistake that we make is to plant our plants in two smaller containers, which then warms up very quickly, dries out very quickly, and then suddenly you don't understand why is your plant's not doing so well. So as long as the container is, I would say, for a goji berry, at least about, or for berry plants, at least about, say, 40 centimeters in diameter and about 40 centimeters in height, that is the smallest that I would go for. If you then can go bigger, obviously that would be better.
The number to dial this morning, 854-1548. Any questions, any queries that you have for JJ, please you join our conversation. And the one that seemed to have lots of interest is the moringa plant. And JJ, I think we're going to have lots of people wanting to know more about the moringa plant. And do you have any other information about that plant?
The moringa plant, remember that your moringa plant is, as I said, a very tropical plant. It likes a very warm winter. So what you'll probably need to do is you'll probably need to close yours in winter if you are staying in a cooler area. And then remember to give it very good soil, very fertile soil, lots of compost. Feed it often, water it often. And don't only water the base of the plant. You know, if a plant comes from a tropical region, it actually wants water on the foliage as well. So, you know, you often get people walking around with those little mist sprayers. And if you were to mist spray the plant probably once every 2 or 3 days, it'll do a hell of a lot of good to the plant. So it's definitely something that's worth a try. And a lot of your tablets nowadays, if you were to look at your vitamins tablets and so on, you'll see that a lot of them nowadays do contain the organic moringa. You get moringa drinks, which is an energy booster, a natural energy booster. So that's really something that you should be looking at. Maybe what you should also be talking about is another health booster, which is your normal old pomegranate. You know, that's the kind of thing that people so often forget about the antioxidant properties that it do have, forgetting about the anti-cancer properties that it do have. So, and that's the kind of thing that you can grow in just about any garden. It loves being out in the open, in the sun, in the warm wind, cold. It can handle anything. So if you ever wanted to try something in your garden which you haven't grown for or which you haven't ever tried, go for a pomegranate. That is so easy.
And the pomegranate do well in, again, you know, we're talking about people who have now downscaled and perhaps wanting to look at, you know, containers. Would that do well in a container?
It does do very well in a container. Remember that your pomegranate does lose its leaves in winter. So what you'll probably need to do is just remember that you're not going to have an evergreen container. But so what, you know, that's all part of the seasons of the world, seasons of life. looking at when that pomegranate has lost its leaves, pruning it back, and then if you were to water it lots throughout winter, it can actually keep its leaves. But if it did lose its leaves and you were to prune it back, you were to shape it, and you get that beautiful new growth coming back after winter, so many people love that anticipation of waiting and watching how everything just grows out again. I mean, that's why so many people also like planting bulbs, knowing that they will have good rewards very quickly. So with your pomegranates, that's the kind of thing that, again, the better you treat it, the better it will bear, the better it will grow. But even if you were planting it in poor soil, it's still going to grow for you. It will probably not grow as big, grow as lush, and grow and bear as many fruit. But no, definitely, pomegranates do very well in containers. There, I would say, it grows a bit bigger and stronger than your berries. So there, I'd say, rather go for a slightly bigger container, about a half a meter, 500 mils in diameter, and about 500 mils in height.
Question coming through about the moringa plant, wanting to know, the is it invasive, and could it be doing well in the containers?
I would love to say that it is invasive because we want it to be invasive. No, unfortunately, it's not. Because of the fact that it's a tropical plant, so you'll probably find that, yes, in a tell or in a low felt, yes, there it might be slightly invasive. But no, it's very easy to maintain. And, you know, invasive plants normally grow twice as strong as you want them to grow. So I would have loved it to be an invasive plant. Yes, it will grow well in a container. The warmer area you stay in, the bigger the container should be. Because if you stay in a colder area, like the Johannesburg, Pretoria, eastern suburbs or so, you'll probably find that it's not going to grow much bigger than about a meter, 1.5 meter maximum. So you don't really need a huge container there. Maybe about, say, a 400 mil diameter, 400 mil height again should be fine. But if you were staying in a warmer area, more tropical climate, definitely then you can plant it in a container which is about at least a 600 by 600, because then you'll be, it will rightfully grow into a small tree, which you want it to grow into. So now definitely you can plant it in a container.
I've got a call in line, let's take that one. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh.
Please go ahead.
I think from Varalam, we have a lot of moringa. In our day, we call it drumstick, now they call it moringa. I would like to know, you see, the leaves, we make soup, the flower, we make curry, and the drumstick make curry. Now, can we use the stick as a miswak to clean the teeth? Because in South Africa, we don't get neem tree, you know.
Okay, I'll just help her. I'll ask our guest if we can help.
Any other tree, what do you use, like in this one?
Okay,
like,
I'll ask our...
Jazakallah,
assalamu alaikum. The caller from Natal out in Verulam says that they use the moringa tree for a number of uses. They use it, the flowers, and for a curry, the drumstick in a curry, and they use... Now, the you know, the stalks. He wants to know. Now, normally they have it, it's called a... You know, they use it in many parts of Arabia, India, and so forth. A stick in which they, you know, sort of try to also use their teeth, clean the teeth. Now, I'm not sure if that, you know, is you. Would you be able to, or do you recommend any other tree that could be utilized in a similar fashion?
You know, I actually don't know. I know that there's a lot of the tribes and the people that stay in the rural areas, which will often use different products in cleaning their teeth. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, no, I can unfortunately not comment on that. I would love to comment on that, but maybe I can find out for us. Not a problem.
Not a problem. When we come back the next time, we'll definitely chat about that. And, you know,
yeah.
I know there's a number of specific trees that they utilize. The number to dial this morning, 854-1548. Now, when we talk about, you know, and again the question with moringa, do you know what it's good for? It's classified as a superfood. Do you know what it's good for?
What superfoods are good for?
We're talking the moringa. Do you know what is it good for? While it's classified as a superfood, is it overall health, or is it specific illnesses, specific ailments? Do you know anything of that?
No problem. So if you look at the superfoods, basically what the superfoods is all about, and especially the moringa in this instance, is that it is about 7 times high in all the different minerals that you would get from any other food. So if you were to use a moringa, you would actually need 7 times less of the other foods, because it is 7 times higher in all the different elements that you would normally find in the food. So that's why so often people will say, you know, once I've got the moringa, I actually don't need anything else, because moringa has got the whole balance of the diet in it, and it is a much bigger balance. So that is the nice thing about it, is that you are able to take one plant and use a lot less of it and still get a lot more food. I know they're talking about 3 times the amount of potassium, 4 times the amount of calcium, 7 times the amount of vitamin C, you know, 36 times the amount of magnesium, 25 times the amount of iron, 50 times the amount of vitamin B2, 50 times vitamin B3, and double the amount of protein. So, I mean, if you were to look at what you get from the moringa, if you were to compare it with your normal foods, with your normal greens, this is how much more you would be getting. And that is why it is one of the superfoods.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to another edition of our program, Dare to Be Different. Just wonderful to have all of you tuning in, whether it's via the audio streaming medium 1548 Satellite Islam and on the DSTV 826. And many of us still curled up. Yes, I don't blame you. It's quite cold this morning. And we are truly blessed. We've got a wonderful guest, and that's JJ. And we're talking about superfoods, wellness and well-being and healing plants in the garden. JJ, are you still with us?
I am with you, and I've actually quickly looked in one of my books here, which trees I normally use as chewing trees, you know, trees to chew on. Moringa is not under the names. It is probably the neem tree, which is the most commonly used one, or the miswak from the
yes,
tree
that's right.
I also use. But if you do not have one of those in your garden, and the most common one that you'll probably find in South Africa is either going to be your normal West Indian lime or your orange trees. So if you are looking for a substitute, you can use the West Indian lime or the orange tree. They both are very good as well. A lot of the others are exotic trees that we don't really get in South Africa. Rhus abyssinica, Ramnastadu, Sterospermum, Kuntianum. So there's quite a few others. But the most commonly ones that if you do not have a neem tree will probably be the West Indian lime or the orange tree.
Thank you very much. And to the caller who's calling from Verulam, yes, it was a neem tree, the miswak, and you could, if not, the closest we can use in South Africa is the orange or the West Indian lime. Thank you very much for that, JJ. I've got another query coming through, and that was regard to the goji berries. How long does it take to harvest? Is it a long, from seedling to maturity, how long is that?
Normally within the second year you can start harvesting. So you normally buy the plants when they are big enough as being late in their first season, if you want to call it that. And then from the second season onwards, you'll actually be able to then harvest from there.
I'm not sure if this is a trick question, but it's come on my phone. It says, I'd like to take Cape roses from my garden in Gauteng to Durban. How do I do it?
You'd like to take your roses from Gauteng to
Durban? Let me just repeat it. That's what I'm saying. I'm not too sure if it's a trick question. I would like to take Cape roses from my garden in Gauteng to Durban. So Cape roses growing in the garden in Gauteng, and once you transplant, take it to Durban. How do I go about it?
Actually, you know, a Cape rose must be roses that were either bought in the Cape or somebody that knows it as being a Cape rose. But to transplant a rose bush, this time of the year is probably the worst time in doing it, but it can be done. Normally, if you were to do it in the winter, you can take all the soil off, cut the rose back to nothing, and then transplant it or take it across for a couple of weeks with any soil on it, you know, with no soil on it whatsoever. But at the moment, if I was to do it, I would probably be digging a trench around the rose, watering it very well, leaving it with a trench for, say, about 2 weeks or so, and watering a lot in the trench itself. That'll force the plant to form a lot of adventurous roots, a lot of side roots, fine hair roots that'll start absorbing moisture again. So if you were to dig the trench around it, don't dig it too big, because eventually you're going to try and keep all that soil. You're going to try and take all that soil with. So the trench, let's say the diameter shouldn't be more than about half a meter, because otherwise it's going to get too heavy to maneuver. But if you were to dig a trench around it, in total being a diameter in width, you can dig that trench, say, about 300-400 mils deep, and then water a lot in there, leave it for 2 weeks, and then only lift it up from the ground, keeping the roots as much as possible intact. And when you do that, remember you cut the plant back quite severely. You'll probably prune it very similar to what you would be pruning it in winter, and then try and keep that root intact with the soil intact with it, and then taking it across as is. That's now where that new packaging wrap that looks like a cling wrap actually works very well, because you can then cling wrap the root system around the plant. Once you've watered it well, after that 2 weeks, you can cling wrap it, keep it all together, and then take it across without breaking the roots away. That should work very well.
Thank you very much. Still with pomegranates, and the question is that would like a sweet pomegranate. Are there any particular varieties that you recommend?
You know, in Israel, where the pomegranates are grown in by their thousands, you get about 30 different varieties of pomegranates. In South Africa, the most commonly grown one, which is the sweetest, is a pomegranate called Wonderful. It is the easiest one to grow. It bears the best fruit in the normal garden without a lot of maintenance, without a lot of work, and it is a very sweet pomegranate. So, yes, look out for the variety called Wonderful.
And it's available. It's a South African grown one.
It is a South African grown one. It's probably also originated from Europe or from Israel. It's commonly grown in South Africa, all over South Africa.
Thank you very much for that. And if you have any queries, any questions, remember the number to dial is 854-1548. And we're talking about wellness and well-being in the garden. And we're now moving on to something that many people would be doing, and that's food security. Tell us about something of food security.
Right, I think what we need to know is that food security comes back to permaculture. And permaculture is where you can sustain your entire family from your own garden. You know, and at the moment we still have shops close by, most of us, and we're not really focused on it as much. But it is going to become a bigger and bigger trend in the world. So, and in South Africa, it's definitely going to grow a lot as well. We're not looking only at the veggies that we could be growing. We're looking at possibly having a chicken coop on the side where we can get our own eggs, get our own meat, do as much as we can to provide for ourselves. You know, I thought to myself the other day, why don't we have more chicken coops in the suburbs, you know? It would be so wonderful having more animals in the suburbs where we can have more fresh produce coming from our own backyard. It's quite interesting in Britain, where they do have a lot of chicken coops all over, where the roosters waking everybody up so early in the mornings, and especially in summer when the sun starts rising at about 2-3 o'clock in the morning in places of Europe, your roosters do start making a noise quite early in the mornings. And what they do is they put the chicken coops doors on timers, so that they only open up at 9 o'clock in the morning, so that the rooster only thinks that it's morning at 9 in the morning when everybody has already arisen. So they keep them in a dark, dark, light enclosed area that they don't know that it's that is daytime already. And then they're on a timer, 9 o'clock they open up, and suddenly 9 o'clock all the rooster starts cock-a-doodling.
So the crowing starts later, not early in the morning.
Much later. Yeah, so I think getting back to the permaculture, I think with us growing so many different veggies, so many different herbs, and so many different fruit trees nowadays, I think permaculture is becoming a very real fact in South Africa, where we are able to grow more of our own food in our own backyard and sustaining our families from our gardens.
Thank you very much. I've got a call in line. Let's take that one. Hello, Assalamu Alaikum. Hello, Assalamu Alaikum.
Wa Alaikum Salaam wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh.
Please go ahead.
I'd like to ask him a question. They're the cranberry berries.
Okay.
What are the benefits of it, and where is it available, and how can we actually use it?
Cranberries, do you know anything about that, JJ? Can you help us with cranberries? Can you plant them? Where are they available? And do you know of any of the health benefits?
Well, cranberries was not available until quite recently. I think for probably the past 2 years or so, cranberries was not grown commercially in South Africa. But nowadays, cranberries are grown commercially in South Africa. And cranberries is a low-growing shrub. It's actually from America. It's native to America. And therefore, a lot of people will know that if you were to look at American programs and a lot of your old American programs, a lot of people would be picking cranberry plants from the gardens, you know, from the fields, and they'll be using it. Cranberry also grows as a ground cover. It actually doesn't grow very high. So your cranberry overall doesn't grow more than about, say, a half a meter or so in height. The cranberry itself can be used in mainly for desserts and so on. But the cranberries, I've never really looked at the health benefits of the cranberry, and I'm quickly going through one of my books here just to see if I can see what it's all, what cranberries will do, what the health benefits is for cranberry. But you might have to give me a minute.
That's fine. And while we're waiting, the number to dial this morning, 854-1548, we're talking about wellness and well-being, healing plants, and we're talking about food security. We've got so many other things to still go through. If you have any questions, any queries, remember to join our conversation. And we spoke about the goji berry, the moringa plant, which is now the super plant, and everybody's talking about the moringa. And while it's more tropical, it's a wonderful plant that you can have. Everything is edible about the plant. So from the leaves to the flowers to the seed and the fruit, that is a wonderful plant to have. And then we spoke about the different berries and pomegranates in containers. We've got a query now with regards to cranberries, and we're waiting for JJ to help us with the health benefits. It's a query that's come through, and I'm sure he'll come up with something for us.
Right, the cranberries can be used fresh, or they can also be dried. So the same way we dry raisins, it can be dried the same way, and it can be used in the same way. So what the cranberries is, yes, the cranberries, it actually shows that most of your berries are part of the superfoods range. And you were saying it earlier today, and I said to you, as far as I know, it's only the goji berries. But yes, most of the berries are classified as being partly superfoods. So what the cranberries do give you, it gives you a lot of energy. It gives you 4 to 6 calories, 190 kilojoules per 100 grams. So it's got a lot of carbohydrates in it, sugars, dietary fibers. It's got a little bit of fat, very, very little bit of fat. It's got 0.13 grams of fat. It's got a lot of protein in it, 0.39. And then it's got probably about 10 different vitamins and about 6 different minerals that's also in there. So I think the most important thing is that whenever you are eating a cranberry, and probably when it's dried, you'll probably find that the sugar and so on is a lot more than with salt wet and when it's salt raw. I think that the main thing is, yeah, that you are getting a lot more for what you are eating. So therefore the cranberry is, yes, being used in desserts, being used fresh, being used dry, probably being used in a lot of our muesli breakfast cereals that we get as well. It's really the kind of thing that we should be using a lot more of. And I think with it being native to America, I think our tropical or our climate could be very similar to the American climate in a lot of different areas and a lot of different ways. And it just shows you that we should be able to grow more of our own cranberries.
Thank you very much. And our cranberries available, and do you know if, are they easily available, or are they also one of those more difficult or rare plants and not as widespread?
You know what, a couple of years ago when they started growing them, they were overproduced. There was too many cranberries actually for what the market could handle because people didn't know cranberries. But now with the people getting to know the cranberries, I think they are still easily available. However, I haven't seen any this season as yet. But normally we do get them a little bit later in the season, so they might still be coming through. What is available so far this season, we've had blueberries, blackberries, goji berries, young berries, raspberries, strawberries. So a lot of the other berries has been available. Cranberries, unfortunately not as yet, but I'm pretty sure they will be coming through soon.
Thank you very much. And still now we're talking about other plants that we can, whilst we're talking about, wellness and overall food security, what plants are available at this moment in edible, or let's put it, not plant, we're talking about both herbs and veggies. What are available in the seedling form at this moment?
Well, you'll find that your variety in summer is supposed to be the biggest variety out. But unfortunately, a lot of your herb varieties, like for instance your rue and your comfreys and so on, they only arrive a lot later in a year. So most of your other seedlings, like for instance your thyme, your celery, your basils, your purple basils, your onions, your chives, the variety is huge. The variety is very vast, you know. And I think nowadays, if you were to plant only one of each of what is available in the nurseries, in your garden, in terms of edible plants, you will need a hectare garden, because the variety is really a lot bigger nowadays than what it used to be. You know, about 20 odd years when I started in the nursery industry, in the green industry, our fruit tree section was doing quite well. I mean, everybody was growing their own fruit trees. And then suddenly the new generation came through, and it sounded like it was too much work to look after your own fruit trees. And fruit tree sales declined. And then suddenly, probably in the last 5 years or so, fruit tree sales has rocketed through the roof. And nowadays, the growers have seen that, listen, there's a new vibe, there's a new era, there's a new mindset and they started growing a lot more. So many years ago, you were not able to find the common old apples. I mean, yes, you would find maybe one or two varieties of apples. Nowadays, there's three or four different varieties of apples available. There's three or four different varieties of mangoes, lychees, avocado. So there is so much that you can get nowadays. I mean, even prickly pears. Who would have thought that a nursery would be selling different varieties of prickly pears? And that's available, you know. So I think for us as consumers, not only for me as being a nurseryman, for us as consumers, the time is now to grow your own and to try your own, you know. I don't think that we should wait. Remember, people often ask me, what is the best time to plant a lemon tree? And I always tell them, 3 years ago. Because if you planted it 3 years ago, today it would be bearing fruit, yeah? So don't wait, because 3 years goes past in a blink of an eye, and life gets busy, you know? But while life is busy, your trees are growing, your trees are developing. And when life is not busy, you can sit back and you can relax, you can enjoy the fruit from your harvest.
You know, just talking about, you know, spoiled for choices in the earlier days, and like you said, 20 years ago, and maybe even as far as back as maybe 5 or 6 years back, when you went into a section and you looked at herbs or you looked at veggies, it was a very small section, a very small section. But these days, when you go to garden centers, you're spoiled for choices. Like you said, you may need a whole hectare just to take a different variety, you know, of each one of those. So we really spoiled for choices, and what we need to do is to go out there. And I think there's no longer an excuse to say we cannot garden, because if you don't have space, you have containers. We don't have containers. There's so many of the containers that you can just buy off the shelves. If not, you can make your own plastic containers. So you're really spoiled for choices, and there's no longer an excuse to say, I can't plant or I don't want to plant, even if you're just going to plant a few simple herbs. Is that right?
You are 100% correct. You know, I think our fruit tree section have probably grown threefold in the last couple of years. And you are right. You are really spoilt for choice. You know, and nowadays, instead of just having, when I started here many, many years ago, I think the only berry that was available was your gooseberries and your strawberries. If you were lucky, you would find a raspberry. You know, nowadays, having the goji berries, the blackberries, the blueberries, all the different berries just shows you how people have grown on what on the availability, on the variety, and how people are now growing their own food and making sure that they have specific varieties available. You know, and I must congratulate the different growers there. I must congratulate the green industry for taking that initiative and taking the market and assessing what is the need, you know, what the needs are like, and then growing and building on that. I think that is the most important thing. If it wasn't available, we would not have it, and we would not be able to have the discussions. So there I've got to say thank you to the growers, and I've got to say well done on bringing us the variety that is available at the moment.
And thank you also to the millennial generation. This is the generation that's really come up and said, look, we want to look at food security. We want to do that. So thank you to them as well, because they've come up and said, we don't trust what goes into food elsewhere. We want to see what goes into our food ourselves, and we need that security. So thank you to them, because they've really, you know, made this industry grow. Is that correct? Would we thanking our people who come out and plant this is because this is a generation that's come up and said, we're taking control of what goes and what we're eating.
I think they were creating the demand. And if they weren't creating the demand, the growers wouldn't be knowing what to grow. And, you know, we are in an era of technology. And nowadays, we've got the world's encyclopedia in our pockets. We've got a cell phone where we can Google just about anything. And we were always afraid of growing different berries because we didn't know how to do it. We were always afraid of failing, you know, and with us being afraid of failing, we do not attempt it. And so often, nowadays, you can just go and you can say, you know what, I'm walking through a nursery here, I'd like to know which berries can I plant together, what berries should I be planting together, what fruit trees should I be planting together, what is companion plants and what not, you know. And therefore, you can literally, in the nursery, you can be on your phone, and you can be Googling, and you can say, you know what, I should be planting my basil together with my tomatoes as companion plants. I should keep the mints away, because then it will create anarchy. It will create a certain kind of dislike between the plants, that they wouldn't grow well together. So go through and have a look at what is available and what can I be planting together. Here, whenever you go shopping nowadays, you should be taking a list with you and say, I need bread, I need milk, I need eggs, I need the next, you know. And that is the kind of thing that you should be doing when you go to a nursery as well. I do use the following. I do use basil. I do use coriander. I do use thyme. Can I be planting them together or not, you know? Then go back to your companion planting chart, which there is 100 of available on the internet, and select what you would be planting where, and plan your garden.
Well, I'm sorry, man, JJ, we do have to cut off. I do apologize. We're coming to the end of the time. Just thank you very much, and I know you've got a wonderful display, and you're out there in the garden world. Just tell us quickly of the Bayes Nudia off-ram. Am I right? 12 kilometers down, and what have you got for us?
You are definitely 100% correct. 12 kilometers down on the right-hand side. We have got a wonderful nursery, a wonderful outing. Here with us, we've got our day lilies on special at the moment, less than 20 rands a day lily. Compost on special, 4 bags for 100 bucks. And it's now the time that you can get your fingers into the garden, get gardening, get dirty, and love every minute of it.
Well, thank you very much. That's all from us. Until we meet again, you take care. Thanks, JJ. Thanks for sharing all that information. Thanks.
Thank you, Shmuel.
Bye-bye. And that was JJ van Rensburg from Garden World. It's a beautiful set out to be. Wonderful place to spend an afternoon. And if you have nothing to do this afternoon, perhaps just pop in. You get lovely plants from there. And maybe you could go buy the moringa as well as the goji berry. That's all from me. Until we meet again, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Faisal is waiting on for the 9 o'clock news.